Hello and welcome to the Racing Postcast, proudly sponsored by Unibet. We've got loads of top quality racing over the weekend to speak about. But first, just to mention Michael O'Sullivan, the hugely sad news of the loss of a 24-year-old jockey who was a huge figure in Ireland, a Cheltenham Festival winner, and such a sad loss for all of the racing communities, both in Britain and Ireland. Our thoughts are with him, his family, and his friends at this very sad time for racing. We are going to move on to this weekend's action. We've got a huge show for you lined up. We've got a few Cheltenham clues along the way. We're getting late now, but there's a few still emerging. We've got some quality racing at Kempton. We've also got the Ida at Newcastle, as well as two races. Our first flat racing meetings we'll be covering on the Postcast in 2025. Let me introduce the panel joining us. In your top right is Tips the Graham Wadbay. Bottom left, Johnny Pearson. And fresh from another good week, Unibet's Ed Nicholson. So we're going to start at Kempton, where the ground is good to soft in places at the time of recording on Thursday afternoon. And we're going to start in the 150, the Ladbrokes Pendle Novices Chase. Six of the last 10 winners have been trained by Paul Nichols. Can he do it again? Well, he's got the favourite in Rabot at 6-4, Imperial Saints for 85-40, Ashdale Bob. Jess Carrington has won from one over jumps in Britain this season, hopes to make that a perfect record. Continued with an 11-2 shot, 15-2 Boomborn, Mark of Gold 10-1, and Baloo 33-1, a huge price for a Nick Henson outsider. Let's start with you, Graham Wadbay. What do we like in the opener?
Yeah, I think this should be straightforward for Paul Nichols and Harry Cobden, shouldn't it? Rubeau is a very good horse on his day, isn't he? Classy hurdler. And he dispelled any doubts about whether he would turn his form to chase him when he chased Lord de Sud last time. Staying on really strongly, looking like he would really appreciate stepping up in trip, which he gets here. All his best form over hurdles, or a lot of it, was at Kempton. So he's got loads in his favour. And he, of course, is getting weight from plenty of his rivals as well. So I'll be disappointed if he's beaten here, Rubeau, James.
Straightforward selection. Johnny?
No, I can't agree with him there. I think, you know, he's got some decent form in there, but Imperial Saint looks much the best on form. He's got form proven over 2.5 miles for a start, whereas Kempton, and you know, a lot of people say, doesn't take as much getting. He should be winning it. The only concern I've got is actually the way he finished up the hill at Cheltenham last time put doubt in my mind that maybe he actually wants further than 2.5 miles. But I think on form, he's got the best form and should be, for all the official ratings, on say differently. I think he's actually the better horse in here, and 3-1 looks a very good price.
Got a difference of opinion. This is what we like, Ed, isn't it? We like when the guys have come in, they've had a look, they've all got different opinions, not when they're all together. Good way to start. You're going to separate us. You're the man in form. Who's going to win the Pendle?
I agreed with Graham. I thought Rabot had an excellent chance. Everything Graham said, I concur. The one slight reservation I have is, as always, when we're doing this podcast on a Thursday after Dex, we don't know what the ground's going to be at Kempton. At the moment, the ground is good, but there are two different weather forecasts that I've looked at. One says there's going to be no rain. One says it's going to be 8 to 10 mils by Saturday. So that will change the going. The reason I say that is I think Robo is better on better ground, which is another positive. He's won the 9 races he's contested on good ground. He's won 7. And that race at Warwick was on soft ground when he ran like a horse that needs 2.5, doesn't he? You could say low sud at kind of eased up, but close home, Harry Skelton was going for the Persuader, and he certainly ran on like a horse that wanted a bit further. He's never run over 2.5, so we don't know. He's not had very little fencing. I just thought the scope, I mean, Imperial Saint has had some good runs and has some good races to his name, but that's the thing. Rabot hasn't had a chance to show how good he is over fences. And it was the better hurdler. I thought Robo should be favourite, and I expect him to win.
Two shouts for the 6-4 favourite, Robo. We'll move on to the 225 at Kempton, the Ladbrokes Adonis Juvenile Hurdle. We are looking here for a little bit of a form boost for Lulumba, even though we don't get to see Lulumba. He's with Mondo Man at the top of the market. He's 14-1 for the Triumph, so perhaps he's a clue as well. No horse has done the Adonis Triumph Dumble since Zarkander in 2011. Well, Mondo Man is 8-15 favourite here for Gary and Josh Moore. Is he another Goshen? We'll see what the panel think of his chances. OPEC, second favourite, and 9-2 for the East India Dock team. He's got entries in the Boodles and the Triumph Hurdle. St. Pancreas at 7-1, Sauvignon at 9-1, Mambo number 5, 18s, and Bersenel at 50-1. Let's come to you first, Johnny. Mondo Man, a cracking run behind the supposed good thing in the Lambert. He seems pretty talented in his own right, though, this Mondo Man.
I mean, cracking run last time is one way of putting it. I don't think I've seen a horse pull as hard as he did for that whole race the entire season. Although he was in receipt of £10 out there, to finish as close as he did, I was actually really impressed by it. You know, he's got some great form on the flat. His fourth at Ascot behind Calandagan in the summer. Getting, you know, he had an official rating of 111. If he can learn to settle and gets and he's a bit calmer this time, he should be winning this pretty easily. The two that sort of stand out a bit, Mambo number 5 and Sauvignon. Now, last time they were both in behind East India Dock on their British debuts, both pulled up, so it's impossible not what to know to make of them, but Mondo Man should be winning this comfortably, so.
Strong opinion there. Ed, we touched on Alain, but we don't get to see him this weekend. We obviously know Unibet's association with the Henderson stable. I mean, this horse was pretty impressive at Ascot. It's been all the talk, all the rage. Is there those same vibes about him? Can we simply go, well, if you've gone that close to Lambert, this Mondo Man must be a really good horse then?
Yeah, I think everything that's been said is true. He did pull so much, and to finish as well as he did in the circumstances, I think was a good performance. I know Nicky, before that run, was getting less and less confident as the day progress, and that's his kind of characteristic. He does do that, but we did a blog with him, and obviously this horse is a horse that he has great hopes for. But he then said to Brett in the car park before that he was getting worried that he could possibly do what he did against this horse, Mondo Man, based upon his flat form and the ability that this horse had. He was very impressed by this horse's performance first time out. The horse that doesn't run today, Ulamba, but. We went to his media day on Monday, and he was saying that he wanted to get another run into him. And he had both his two Triumph Hurdles horses entered in this race. And I can exclusively tell you that the reason why he hasn't run either, and it will be in the blog later on, so please do read the Nick Henderson blog, is that he kind of thought back to Fusel Raffles back in 2019 when he made his British debut in this race, winning. But then if you were there, you remember he kind of got a cut on his leg afterwards, and he missed the Triumph Hurdle because of it. And Nicky was just thinking, he says to us in his blog, that if any of these two does get an injury here, there's not enough time in his mind to get them back for the Triumph. And he has the Fusel Raffles experience in the back of his head. So he's being ultra, ultra careful, as he is sometimes. And that's why he's not running him. So as far as I can work out, they'll both go to the Triumph Hurdle now without another run. But as for this race, Mondo Man on that piece of form would, if you take it for literally, then you'd have to say he's got a great chance. 4-7 though, about a horse that pulls a lot. I don't think I'd be taking 4-7. I'm going to put it up as a selection, but there's other horses in the race that could progress. I mean, Savion comes from a stable that have won this race in the past. I think did Solo win this for Johnny De La Haye years back? On I think maybe his British debut, but they always have a nice horse in this race. Savion is a crisp light wine. This should be more like a Cabernet Sauvignon because he likes it really heavy. So I don't know if the ground's going to be up to standard for him. But you wouldn't be surprised if he ran well. Did disappoint last time. And St. Pancreas, who ran behind a few of them, a few in that big race at Ascot. He then went up and won a really good race at Musselburgh. Off a fast pace, he kind of missed the break that day, and everyone thought he was out with the washing, and he ran on. A fast run race might suit St. Pancreas, but I think he'd be derailed, and I think the favourite Mondo Man will win. But I'm not backing him at 4-7. I think it's too short.
Ed, I was getting worried about what sort of pun you were going to get for Mambo number 5, then, if we come on to that. But a bit of exclusive news there from the Unibet blog, which will be available online, of course. Lambert and Palladium will go straight to Triumph. That's fascinating to hear. Let's move on to you, Graham. We touched on Nick Henson getting nervous. He couldn't be nervous for the Betfair hurdle last week, or the William Hill hurdle, should I say. You said Joyeurs was going to be £30 well in. We weren't sure if you were right. Look who is laughing now, Graham Rodway.
Well, yeah, the stick that I took for saying that once that got beat at Cheltenham. But, you know, obviously I was right, wasn't I? The problem was the wrong race, wasn't it? And I didn't even back Joyeurs. Oh, I was absolutely gutted when I saw how easy she won. I think Ed was saying she's gone up to 138 now, so she's already well on her way to being £30 ahead of that mark that she ran off at Cheltenham. But yeah, always the way, isn't it? You know, you hype up these horses, they get beat on the day when you're really big on them, and then the day you're not on, in they go. Nevertheless,
have a penny on, Graham.
No, I totally went off, Joyous. I don't know why I haven't said that she had so much in hand, but there you go. Mental man, that's what I call him here, James. Mental man, he's absolutely mental, isn't he? This Mondo man, you know, he's absolutely mental. I mean, the way he went through that first race at Ascot, anyone would believe that he was wanting to go 5 furlongs, let alone 2 miles. Like Johnny said, I mean, you won't see a horse pull harder than him. And to get so close to Lou Lambert, who's such a hot favourite for the Triumph, despite doing that, he must have an absolutely mental amount of ability, this mental man. But of course, he is mental, which is a slight concern if you want to back him at 4-7. Nevertheless, Kempton should suit him. It's a really sharp track. It's more of a test of speed. If he doesn't pull as hard, he will win.
Let's move on to the 3 o'clock at Kempton, the Ladbrokes Dovecote Novices Hurdle. Over 2 miles, no horse has gone on to win the Supreme since flown in this race in 1992. Pigeon Iron was a beaten favourite, though, of course. Will we see a challenger emerge on Saturday? Well, we've got a few potential types that could go there. Favourite in this is the 15-8 Miami Magic for Stuart Edmonds, Celtic Dino and Tripoli Fly at 7-2. Royce at 13-2 needs a brush up is jumping, but clearly a very talented horse. Starcross 11-9s, Andershan 11s, Road Less Travel 16s and Blue Singer the Outsider at 50-1. Take us away, Graham.
Yeah, really good race again, isn't it? I was there when Miami Magic won at Kempton in November. He was very, very impressive from the front. Not quite as mental as Mental Man, but he goes off really, really fast. And it'll be interesting to see how he and Andershan go in this race, because Andershan won in similar sort of fashion to Miami Magic at the track at the last meeting there, went off like a mentalist and just kept going and was wildly impressive. So if you do get Miami Magic and Andershan going mad up front, it could set the race up for something else. However, Miami Magic did keep on very, very strongly when he won that day in November. He's obviously gone on to chase Home Potter's charm next time in the Grade 1 at Aintree. It's the best form on offer. He's got the course form. He's the right favourite and I don't want to be against him.
Stick with the favourites, says Graham. Ed?
Yeah, obviously got a great chance, the favourite. When I saw the betting for this race, though, there was one horse that I just thought was miles out of kilter, the price. Road Less Travelled. I think we're going 16s at the moment. And obviously that's on the back of the performance last time out in the Formby, when this horse was pulled up before the last in the fog. On soft ground, and the fact that he's got a £5 penalty for winning a Grade 2. So he is one of the best horses in the race on form, but he does have to give weight all around. And that's a negative being pulled up last time, as is the penalty. But there's lots of positives for this horse at that sort of price. So 16-1 is a positive. I think that's too big myself. But also in the excellent Racing Post quotes section on the online version, it actually says that the trainer believes the horse will be better on better ground. So he's done his winning, including the Grade 2 on soft ground. Obviously, well, not obviously, but I'm assuming that last performance at Haydock, sorry, at Aintree in the Formby, which used to be the Tolworth Grade 1, is well, you can put that down slightly to the ground, if not all of it to the ground. And I just thought it's bigger price than it should be, 16s. I'm going to go for it. I mean, obviously, there are other horses in the race that have got better last time out form, but overall form, I still think Road Less Travel is one of the best horses in the race. So, yeah, 16-1, that'll do me.
Yeah, Road Less Travel 16-1, one for the country music fans. A smashing record by Lauren Elena. Johnny, finish us off.
I mean, I'm not going to have a bet in the race. I think Miami Magic's the right favourite. Probably should be winning this in all the form we've seen so far. But there's a few they're unexposed to, or fairly unexposed to, and give very good accounts themselves. You know, Celtic Dino was obviously further behind against Potter's Charm last time, but Sam Thomas Stables in flying form had a good double up at Kempton, Carlisle the other day, and he could run well. Andershan, no one, you know, he's got some decent bumper form last season, well, what looked decent bumper form behind Regent's Joy, won so easily last time, you don't know where the limit might be there. Road Less Travelled, you know, prior to being pulled up, has got some good form. I think it wouldn't be a huge surprise to me if there was something to sort of upset the favourite for all. I think he probably should be winning the race.
Okay, interesting. Stuart Edmonds looking for his first graded winner since 2019. And this, of course, could be a hell of a compliment to Podis Sharma ahead of a Cheltenham Festival, given he was second behind him in the form beat at Aintree. Let's move on to the last race at Kempton. We'll be looking at £150,000 up for grabs in the Ladbrokes Trophy Handicap Chase. It's a proper 3-mile handicap chase to get stuck into. A quick look at the market. 3-1 favourite Highland for Nicky Henderson. Lowry's Bar, we missed out on seeing him last weekend, but he's back at 5-1. Our Power at 6-1 for Sam Thomas, winner of this race in 2023. Beachcomber at 7s. Kate Dory, 17-2, another for Sam Thomas, who Johnny mentions just there is in really good form. We're looking for another winner in this race. Golden Sun at 9-1, and Tamaris, another for Paul Nichols, at 14s. Graham, really competitive handicap. Where is your eye drawn?
Yeah, great, another great race, isn't it? It's a good running this year as well, isn't it? Quite a strong race. And I think that Highland is the right favourite. He's obviously a novice, unexposed, coming in for Nicky, who loves a winner at Kempton. But he's tight enough at the price for me, so I was looking elsewhere. I like horses who are stepping up in trip, particularly around Kempton and in this race. They've not got bad record. I remember Clondor Castle winning it. It might have been the only race he won over 3 miles. It was really a 2.5 miler. There was another one. Theatre Guide was a bit of a... He wasn't a certain stayer when he won it either. And the one that's, that catches my eye is Tamoris, who ran really well over 2.5 here last season behind Blow Your Wad in the Pendle, actually, on this card. They were miles clear of the third that day. He's been slowly brought along, should we say, this season. He only had 2 runs, well beaten first time out, but showed a lot more last time. It was a Roland Merrick at Wetherby when he was in second coming over the last, and he was run out of the second place in the last few strides. But nevertheless, I thought he shaped very, very nicely in that race on his first run over 3 miles. The analysis in the Racing Post straight afterwards says that, you know, he didn't stay. But I'm not entirely sure that's true. I mean, it was 3 miles, 45 yards, and it was only the last 45 yards that he was run out of second. This is as tight a 3 miles you're going to get, a real speed track, Kempton. I think it'll suit looks like Tamoris. If the rain comes, that'll be ideal for him. He goes well in soft ground. And we know that Paul Nichols targets this meeting too. So I think he's got a lot going for him, Tamoris, at a good old price.
14-1. Ed, before we come on to your selection, Highland, I think I agree with Graham about the price. 3-1 does seem a little bit short. Horse has got an entry in the Grand National, pretty short on the Ultima. What's the long-term thinking with Highland, and what do you think, and what's the vibe about his chances on Saturday?
I haven't spoken to Nicky about this horse in this race, but I do know, having spoken to him and Nico before, they've been slightly surprised by the improvement the horse showed during the summer and into this proper season. He was always kind of viewed as a very good horse, but a horse that might, you know, reach his ceiling once the proper horses come out in work, for want of a better word. But he's just kept on improving. I think they, again, in the last race, the Grade One, I think they were impressed once again. His jumping has kept him in touch with some really good horses, and that's been a key to him improving, I think. So I think the ground is key as well. And I think that again is a question mark about him if it came up soft. I don't think it will come up soft, but it could come up good to soft. And I'm hoping it does, because my selection has to have a bit of cut in the ground. It's been withdrawn on good ground the last twice it's been running on such a surface, but it's a big price. And I think there's lots of reasons to suggest that Heltenham has got a really good chance here. A little bit like Graham, it's a selection. It's a horse that's running over 3 miles for the first time. Graham said he likes that when it comes to these sort of races at Kempton. And I know this horse really well. I know a lot of our listeners do as well, but I kind of look at the data, the stats data of horses, and he's got an enormous horse, and obviously he's got a very big stride. And when he's running, the information that comes to me and the data that you can get suggests that he'd be better over 3 miles than he has been over 2.5. He's never raced any further than 2.5 miles, I think. And he's been crying out for 3 miles. Two things against him is that he has to have a fast pace, because he does take a bit of a pull, but he'll probably get that here. There's a lot of front runners, and he does need the good ground. But his handicap mark has dropped. He's now on 1.36. Last time he was on 1.36, he won a good race. He's running on a course he's done well at before, came second on this course, last year in another race. And also the final piece of the pie, the clue, the final clue for me is that Phlegmatic is owned by the same people that own this horse. And Phlegmatic has got a fantastic record at Kempton. And he's not coming. He's run nine times at Kempton. He's won three, second twice, third twice. And he came fourth in this race last year. And I thought they were always looking to run him in this race. But they ran him last week in the at the grade one. And this horse takes the place. So, I mean, that shouldn't really matter. But it's just the final piece of the jigsaw that I thought, well, they obviously think this horse is going to run well. So I think at 14-1, I think he might be a bit of a market move as well on the day. So, yeah, Heltenham's a kind of each way selection at fair odds, 16-1.
Come on to you, Johnny. Anything at perhaps a big price as well for you?
Yeah, I think Unanswered Prayers can go well for Chris Gordon. Hasn't been plan A. He was meant to run at Plumpton 10 days ago at the time of recording, but he's unseated at the first. But that day at Plumpton, he had three winners, three seconds, and Unanswered Prayer, that's unseated. The meeting, last meeting at Kempton, he had a couple of winners. He's got a good record around here. And he actually ran in the race last year, this horse, and finished, was it fourth, I think? Not beaten too far, sort of 8 lengths, £1 higher this time round, but he's got a Freddie Gordon claiming three. I think he looks massively overpriced to sort of run a decent race again. He ran well at Ascot, being beaten by Indoor last time, ran well at Sandown time before that. He's bar unseating last time, he's been pretty consistent this season and should give a good account of himself at a bit of a price.
That was the 3:35 at Kempton. We'll be going to Newcastle and Southall after break, where you'll be surprised to learn of one of the biggest yards in the country seeking their first winner of 2025. So we move on to Newcastle in the northeast, one of their biggest races of the season there. This is the Ida, a huge stamina test over 4 mile 1 and half a furlong. And it looks a really competitive race. The 210 at Newcastle, Virgin Bet Ida Handicap Chase. We'll just spin through the market. At the top of the market is O'Connell seeking a fourth straight victory at 5-1. Collector's Item at 7s, one of the biggest rides for Jack Hogan. He claims £3. Angus Crag at 7-1. Last year's winner for Geordie, Brian Ellison, passing well, 17-2. Choose the News at 10s, Egbert and History of Fashion at 11s. And I'd like the way you're thinking at 12s. Graham, I believe you've got a fairly strong fancy here.
Yeah, really fancy one here, James. Choose the News, Mark Wolford and Jamie Hamilton. Loves Newcastle. So I've run there three times, one win, 2 seconds. And he looks for all the world like he's going to relish a stamina test. He was badly outpaced at a crucial stage over 2 miles, 7.5 furlongs at the track last time, dropped back to about 4.45, but he was doing all of his best work in the closing stages and was gaining on the winner, if not for Dylan, right the way to the line. I think that's just about one of the best pieces of form on offer in the race. He's still very unexposed. He was only a novice last season. And we know that he loves the course. So provided he stays, I can't understand why Choose the News is a double-figure price. One of our best bets of the day here, James.
One to watch out for. Ed, there's been a little bit of money for Angus Crag. Is this potentially one you'll be looking at?
100%. That's the selection. Angus Crag. That's a good shout by you, James. I did find the race impossible, having said that. We're going money back second or third because it is an impossible race. So it's a good race to have a bet on because you will get second or third. You will get paid out your stake if you come second or third. But Angler's Crag, just for me, has the form in the book. And we all know that he won the Ida last year. And I actually was watching the race at Edinburgh, at Musselburgh, shows how old I am, last time out. And he was miles behind. Absolutely miles behind. And then he made a hell of a lot of ground down the back straight. And only a few horses finished that race because it was a war of attrition. I think it's the Edinburgh Grand National, is it, there at Musselburgh the last time? And finished, Borders, I think, National, fourth.
Oh, no, Edinburgh, yeah.
Edinburgh, no, yeah.
I think it's Kelsey, yeah. There's too many regional nationals. They're too confusing.
Yeah, no, it was definitely Musselburgh, and he ran on really well, and you know, I think he finished fourth. That would have put him spot on for this race. I was thinking that he was a heavy ground performer. There are lots of horses here that need heavy ground, and they're just plodders, for want of a better expression. I know if you're an owner, you don't like to hear your horse being called a plodder, but Egbert, for instance, I spoke to Brett Williams about that horse this morning, and he just stays all day. He won for us at 16-1, didn't he, not long ago, and they think he'll run a big race. And he just needs 4 miles and soft ground. But Angler's Crag's actually got better form on better ground. I think he won the Ida on heavy, but I think he's won three of his six races on good to soft. Sorry, so six races he's run on good to soft, he's won three of them. So, you know, the faster, any ground that's not, you know, if he's not heavy, which he isn't down to be at the moment, then I think he's got a good chance. But, I mean, it's a good race. Keith Melrose is needed here, but... I think Angler's Crag is the one for me.
I should say 8-1 into 15-2, now into 7-1 at the time of recording. So there has been some continued support throughout the morning. Johnny, we'll come to you. Plodder, I don't think there's anything wrong with being called a plodder. Have you been called a plodder in your time before?
Probably, but I wouldn't be thrilled about it. I can tell you that much. But funny, Ed mentioned Keith Melrose. We were sat in the office on Tuesday going through the Ida Chase, given it was one of his favourite races of the calendar. We both sort of decided that the race from last year might be the sort of place to look. Angler's Crag, I'm not going to accuse horses of not running on their merit, but you'd have to say this has been the plan for a while and that, you know, they've been targeting this race. I actually thought Gold Clermont would have a chance and back to Mantipost, but it wasn't declared, so that sort of... New Dundrum. But the one that I know Keith Melrose likes as well is Major Dundee. If you watched that last year, he unseated his rider two fences out. He was bang up there on the front end. Every chance. They put Brian Hughes this time. He's £5 lower in the handicap. Provided, you know, he puts his lacklustre form this season behind him from his two runs he's had, I don't see any reason he's not going to outrun his odds and go close to winning. Yeah.
Could be building a hell of a lucky 15 there, Johnny, if all those come in. Some really big price selections, which we love to see. Let's see, though, what you like on the flat. Our first flat race we'll be looking at on the postcast of 2025. And it comes on the All Weather at Southall. This is the Bet UK Heaver Sprint Stakes over 5 furlongs. Will we have the same winner as last year? Diligent Harry at 11-4. But the favourite is Marshman at 5-2. Diligent Harry 11-4. William Buick rides this one for the very first time. Valiant Force, you may remember the 150-1 Norfolk winner not too long ago. He's 11-2, not so big odds this afternoon. Clarendon House, 13-2, Equilateral at 10s. Johnny, have you got another big prize for us, or do we like one of the top of the market?
No, Diligent Harry wins this at a nice short price. Won it last year. It's had the same prep as last year. Okay, he lost to Marshman by 4 lengths last time out, but that was on his reappearance, having not raced since July. Everything's set to suit once again, and I think he'll turn the tables with Marshman, who for a while was a bit of a cliff horse for me, but I had to start giving up on him, which is annoying given since the Windhop he's won his last two, and I'd expect him to go well, but I think Diligent Harry will be too good here.
Diligent Harry for Johnny. Agree, Graham?
I do, yeah. I think they'll win this Diligent Harry. I mean, he's a very good horse, but he's even better on the all weather. And it looked for all the world like it was a little pipe opener after a long time off at Lingfield last time behind Marshman when he showed his customary speed only to get run down by a few of them late on. That was over 6. Of course, he's going back to 5 at a track what we know he likes. He won the race last year. He's drawn quite high, isn't he? In stall 8 has been the place to be recently at Southall. They've always been coming middle to near side in the sprints. And we've got the Brucey bonus of Bill Buick on board, haven't we? So I don't see too many negatives here for Diligent Harry, James.
Are we going to complete a hat-trick, Ed?
Yep, the hat-trick has landed. It's quite interesting we've all plumped for Diligent Harry, considering he came fourth beaten by a horse that's running against him again in Marshman. But all of us have looked at the race, all of us have looked at the form, and we've all kind of worked it out that race was a pipe-opener. And you'll never see a horse running like that more than this horse in that race. I think the jockey gave him one tap behind the saddle and he finished fourth, not beaten that far by the second and third. But Marshman did win quite well that day. And he is 2 from 2 on the all weather. He's come back from wind surgery. And being gelded. So he's obviously a different horse and a better horse. But I can only see Marshman or Diligent Harry winning this race. And just the fact that Diligent Harry's won 7 of his 12 on the all-weather, one here, that run will put him spot on. Everything that Graham said, really. I just think that Diligent Harry wins. The race they ran in, also, don't forget that Diligent Harry was half the odds of Marshman. So, you know, he was, given that we still think he needed the run, we think that. We don't know that. You know, he's still fancied to beat Marshman even then. So I just think Diligent Harry wins. It's interesting what Graham says about the draw, because I was desperately trying to find out how the draw has been in these 5 furlong races when there are kind of 12 or more runners since the new to Peter has been put in. It doesn't seem to be that much difference between drawn one and... But I suppose it's when they swing into the straight, they're going middle to wide. Is that right, Graham?
I've only seen a few sprints there recently, Ed, but I noticeably seem to be coming more towards the stand side over 5, you know, because they're going obviously straight up the track, aren't they? So, I'm basing my assumptions on, you know, what I've seen recently rather than overall. And I guess you could argue last year Diligent Harry won it from stall 2. I think he was chased home by Elves quite close to him. So, you know, you wouldn't say it's an absolute massive issue for Marshman, who's out in 1, of course, but just on what I've seen recently at that track, seems to me that being more towards this stand, middle to stand side, is the place to be. Could be wrong, though, of course.
Yeah, no, I think you're right. I mean, look, when they come around the bend, they go to the middle and the wide, don't they? So, and then, I know the 5 furlong straight, but I can't think of too many horses that have gone to that rails. You're right. Yeah.
It's a sudden realisation for a jumps fan that the flat season's near. When we start a bit chat about draw bias at Savile over 5 furlongs, the end is near. You give me a shock realisation that it's all going to be around in the summer for too long. So save the challenge, James, save the Ida and all those races.
It was a bit of a shock to the system having a look at a flat race, I must say. But I should also say that this is one of our flagship offers here. It's industry best price. So from 9 o'clock on Saturday, as I always say, there's no need to go anywhere else because we will be the industry best price on any of these horses from 9 o'clock on Saturday. So to go to unibet.co.uk, get up to the 240 at Sutherland. And if you are going to have a bet, then do so with Unibet.
And all of us seem to fancy Diligent Harry in that 240 at Savile. Let's see what we think about the 315 at Savile. This is the Bet UK Winter Derby. I mentioned One Big Yard hasn't had a winner in 2025. That is, of course, John and Fady Gosden. No winner yet. They could do it by the time of a Winter Derby is recorded on Thursday afternoon. But they have had 4 of the last 6 winners of this race. They've got Military Academy, who is not favourite. Your favourite is the 11-8 Royal Champion, back with a win after his stint in Australia. Military Academy, who I just mentioned. For the Gostons at 2-1. Persica at 4s. Champagne Prince, 1 of 2 for Jane Chappell-Heim at 7s. Her other one is Claymore at 40s. Pleasant Man 40s and Alanya at 50-1, the outsider. Johnny has not got a selection for us in this race. We're going to go straight to Graham. What do we like here?
Yeah, a really good race, isn't it? Royal Champion, sort of a borderline group 2, group 3 horse, isn't he, you'd say? And Military Academy could be a significant improver. I just thought a bigger price. Champagne Prince has maybe been a bit overlooked in the market here, James. Got an outstanding record on the all-weather, 5 wins from 6 starts, 2 wins from 3 at the course, including when landing the trial for this race over course and distance last time, when he beat a horse called Iden a lot easier than he'd beaten him previously, despite being on £2 worse terms. So one thing that we do know about Champagne Prince is that he is rapidly improving. He is really progressive. His RPR showed at 100, 104, 109. He's going to need to improve again because Royal Champion is up at 116 and Military Academy up at 115. But there's every chance that Champagne Prince can make a big jump. And the one thing that he does have in his favour that so many others don't is that he is proven at the track. So at the price, he's more than happy to take a chance on Champagne Prince and my mate Billy Buick again.
He is hoping he'll have a good day for Graham. William Buick's ride at 7-1. Ed, finish us off.
Yeah, I respect that opinion. I think Champagne Prince is quite a big price, actually, given everything that that was said. I must admit, I did though think Royal Champion was a slightly different class, and that's what you're getting with the price, I suppose. obviously formerly trained over here in the UK by Roger Varian when he won Royal Ascot, the Wolverton, and then went over to Australia and ran in group one, two races. And now back with Carl Burke, or with Carl Burke, and run one last time out. It's probably the best horse in the race. I just like this, the look of this horse's profile, and I thought he'd win. But 6-4 is quite short, I suppose. Persica's a nice horse of Richard Hannon's. Richard's our flat ambassador, and he was talking about this horse all year, saying he's a group horse, group. Started off in that handicap at Newbury, you know, the one that ends up being a group race. And he kept on improving. And yeah, he's got a chance. It is a tough race. 6-4 might be actually a little bit short for Royal Champion, but I thought he was the most likely winner, I must admit.
Okay, we will come on to your best bets and the naps over weekend, as well as some selections away from the races we've already looked at, after a quick word from our sponsors.
Want betting on the horses to be anything but flat? With an app that impresses every time out, you're on. Want to watch live streaming of races in the UK, Ireland and around the globe? And get a chance to win even bigger with 3 uni boosts every day on any horses you want. Unibet, you're on.
Okay, so before we come on to our best bets, we're going to have a look at some of the fancies from the boys away from the ITV cameras. Johnny, start us off. You are going quite far away from home, it seems.
Yeah, we're going to go to more tropical climates in Riyadh in Saudi Arabia, where we've got the Saudi Cup, which is the richest horse race in the world. But earlier on the card, we've got the Howden Neon Turf Cup, which is a Group 2. We've got the likes of Shin Emperor in there, his favourite, who's third behind Economics in the Irish Champions Day. He's got Al Rifer, who is second behind City of Troy in the Eclipse, and they both ran in the Arc, of course. But my eye is drawn to a German horse, I think, it's actually quite good. It's second to Rebel's Romance in Cologne back in September, which most people might not be aware of this horse. But I think a quick track, which he's likely to get, he's done a lot of his racing on soft ground. I think the quicker the ground, the better it'll be for him. I think 16-1 looks huge price for a horse. Although he's five, I still think he's massively improving. I'm going to have an each-way play on him. And then you've got the big one, the Saudi Cup itself at 5-4. You've got the Japanese Forever Young favourite, and you've got Romantic Warrior, who keeps winning and winning and winning, but hasn't run on dirt before, which is a big query about whether how well he's going to handle it. But he's trained on the dirt, provided he handles the surface, I think it could be too good for the Japanese challenger.
Okay. Graham, you're going to even more tropical climates, aren't you, for your other bets?
Yeah, you know, you can't beat a night down my local at Chelmsford, and I've had a good look at the card this weekend. You know, I might well visit. It won't be quite as sunny and warm as Saudi Arabia, of course, you know, but the Essex Riviera will be lit up by 3 winners, hopefully, from myself. And the first one's in the 5:45, En Passant. This one was very impressive when he won at Kempton last time. He's drawn in stall 1, which I like around Chelmsford. It's a very tight track. And he's just looked like a better horse since they dropped him back to 7 furlongs on his last 2 starts. Should get a really good pace around Chelmsford. Usually they go pretty fast because it can often pay to be on the front end. That should suit En Passant. I also like Stuart Williams' horses coming off the back of a win. The times you see the Stuart Williams runners racking up sequences, he's so good. So that's En Passant, 5:45. 6:45, probably the best bet of the night is Dicko the Legend. He's really well handicapped on his best form. He's dropped £5 in the weight since his last win. It might even be more than that. And he showed his best piece of form recently at Savile last time, really shaped like he was coming back. He's a course and distance winner. There's 2 well handicapped to ignore. And then there's actually a really good race on the card in the 7:15. It's a competitive handicap. Bang on the Bell is another course specialist who I've seen win around there before. He's nicely drawn in stall 5. Got loads and loads of speed this horse. He weren't able to show it last time out Lingfield when he stumbled at the start and everything went wrong. But he did show a lot more in his previous run at Wolverhampton when he blasted off and was only beaten a length of a quarter. That was a sign that he's coming back to form, and he's at a £3 lower mark here. So that's a nice little tricksy for you at Chelmsford on Saturday night. 5:45 M plus Sun, 6:45 Dicko the Legend, and 7:15 bang on the bell.
Perfect. I don't think I've ever heard Essex Riviera before, Graham. It's new to me. It'll be new to our listeners, I'm sure. But I'm sure the marketing team at Chelmsford will be delighted with that reference. So if you are, look out for Graham if you are visiting the Essex Riviera, according to Mr. Rodway, this weekend. And finally, Ed, let us know what offers you've got for us.
Yeah, well, first of all, I like to say I'll be in the Tropical Principality this weekend at Chepstow. And there's a horse running in the 232, and I hopefully will see Lossy Mouth win. It's not that Lossy Mouth, it's the British bred Lossy Mouth, who runs in the Potemps Network qualifier at 232. Think Lossy Mouth's got a good chance of going a few places better than he has of late, to hopefully maybe get into the Cheltenham. That'd be something, wouldn't it? Two Lossy Mouths at Cheltenham. But the offers, let me go through them, chronological, each track. So Kempton, the 150, that's the Pendle. We've got Super Boost, where we boost every horse in the race. Then we go to the next race, which is the Southall 240, which is industry best price. So if you want to back a horse in that race, the listed Heaver Sprint, no place to go better than Unibet, because on Saturday from 9 o'clock, we are best industry price every single runner. We're also doing a Super Boost on the Winter Derby. That's at 3:15. And then the Ida Chase, ultra competitive staying handicap chase. We're money back second or third. Please do go to our website to get the full terms and conditions for all our offers.
And as Ed said, that 2:30 at Chepstow, Mon Moral finished fourth in that last qualifier last year, went on to win the Potemps. So definitely worth watching. I'm not even going to comment on Tropical Principality, Ed. That's beyond belief, Chepstow in February. Hopefully, though, we'll be hot up with some good bets this weekend. Graham Rodway, what is the nap?
Yeah, 2:40 at Southall, Diligent Harry to go in again under Billy Buick. Good price. I reckon he'd be a good bit shorter than the current odds. So get on him as soon as you can with a Diligent Harry in the 2:40 at Southall.
A fancy we all like on the show, Johnny.
It's going to be Imperial Saint in the 150 at Kempton. I think he's overpriced and can get the better of Rubo, who is the favourite at the moment.
One for the resurgent Hobbs and Johnson White team. I'm going to go for Miami Magic in the 3 o'clock at Kempton. Thought there was a cracking run behind Potter's Charm, who I'm all for the Cheltenham Festival. Hopefully he's going to get a huge form boost, Miami Magic in the 3 o'clock at Kempton. And finish off, Ed.
Yeah, 3:35 at Kempton, the big staying handicap chase. Just got a feeling Heltenham will be a better horse over 3 miles in a fast run race than he has been over 2.5. And he's not a bad horse over 2.5. So Heltenham, big price, long as the rain comes a little bit each way in that 3:35.
Thank you very much to our panel, Graham Rodway, Johnny Pearson, Ed Nicholson, and of course, I've been James Stevens. Do, as always, if you enjoy these shows, rate, review, subscribe. Let us know what you fancy. If you found something we haven't, is there something we're missing? Have we got it wrong? Have we got it right? Let us know what you think. And of course, do join us again next Thursday at 7 o'clock for a look at the weekend's racing, where Newbury and the Moor Battle Hurdle at Kelso, a really good race. It's been on the up for a number of years. Looks like it's going to be hugely competitive once again. That's going to be our area of focus next week. But until then, do enjoy the racing. Goodbye and gamble responsibly.